Chapter 65. After my night at the cinema with Helen, I just seemed to drift naturally into the habit of dropping in to see her on an occasional evening. And before I knew what was happening, I had developed a pattern. Around 8 o'clock, my feet began to make of their own accord for Heston Grange. Of course, I fought the impulse. I didn't go every night. There was my work, which often occupied me round the clock. There was a feeling of propriety. And there was Mr. Alderson. Helen's father was a vague little man who had withdrawn into himself to a great extent since his wife's death a few years ago. He was an expert stockman, and his farm could compare with the best, but a good part of his mind often seemed to be elsewhere. And he had acquired some little peculiarities. When things weren't going well, he carried on long, muttered conversations with himself, but when he was particularly pleased about something, he was inclined to break into a loud, tuneless humming. It was a penetrating sound, and on my professional visits, I could often locate him by tracking down this characteristic droning among the farm buildings. At first, when I came to see Helen, I'm sure he never even noticed me. I was just one of a crowd of young men who hung around his daughter. But as time went on and my visits became more frequent, he suddenly seemed to become conscious of me and began to regard me with an interest which deepened rapidly into alarm. I couldn't blame him, really. He was devoted to Helen, and it was natural that he should desire a grand match for her. Richard Emerson represented just that. His family were rich, powerful people, and Richard was very keen indeed. Compared to him, an unknown, impecunious young vet was a poor bargain. When Mr. Alderson was around, my visits were uncomfortable affairs, and it was a pity because I instinctively liked him. He had an amiable, completely inoffensive nature which was very appealing, and under other conditions we would have got along very well. But there was no getting round the fact that he resented me. And it wasn't because he wanted to hang on to Helen. He was an unselfish man, and anyway, he had an excellent housekeeper in his sister, who had been recently widowed and had come to live with the Aldersons. Auntie Lucy was a redoubtable character, and was perfectly capable of running the household and looking after the two younger children. It was just that he had got used to the comfortable assumption that one day his daughter would marry the son of his old friend and have a life of untroubled affluence. And he had a stubborn streak which rebelled fiercely against any prospect of change. So it was always a relief when I got out of the house with Helen. Everything was right then. We went to the little dances in the village institutes. We walked for miles along the old grassy mine tracks among the hills, or sometimes she came on my evening calls with me. There wasn't anything spectacular to do in Dalaby, but there was a complete lack of strain. A feeling of being self-sufficient in a warm existence of our own that made everything meaningful and worthwhile. Things might have gone on like this indefinitely, but for a conversation I had with Siegfried. We were sitting in the big room at Skeldale House, as we often did before bedtime, talking over the day's events, when he laughed and slapped his knee. I had old Harry Forster in tonight paying his bill. He was really funny. Sat looking round the room and saying, "It's a nice little nest you have here, Mr. Farnan, a nice little nest." And then, very sly, "It's time there was a bird in this nest, you know. There should be a little bird in here." I laughed too. "Well, you should be used to it by now. You're the most eligible bachelor in Dalaby. People are always having a dig at you. They won't be happy till they've got you married off." "No, wait a minute, not so fast." Siegfried eyed me thoughtfully. I don't think for a moment that Harry was talking about me. It was you he had in mind. "What do you mean?" "Well, just think. Didn't you say you had run into the old boy one night when you were walking over his land with Helen? He'd be onto a thing like that in a flash. He thinks it's time you were hitched up, that's all." I lay back in my chair and gave myself over to laughter. "Me? Married? Oh, that'll be the day. Can you imagine it? Poor old Harry." Siegfried leant forward. "What are you laughing at, James?" "He's quite right. It's time you were married." "What's that?" I looked at him incredulously.